Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlonFarmLife.com.
Hello and welcome to Farm View. Well, as usual, it's Kieran O'Connor here with your weekly farming program. Well, on this week's show, a busy show for you again. We'll hear how Brazil beef's illegal antibiotic trade has been exposed. We'll talk to Adam Woods, beef editor at the Irish Farmers Journal. From grass to gas, we'll hear about a launch of a new fully agricultural biomethane plant launched earlier this week in Duleek in County Meath. Plus, I'll talk to tallow mill supplier Laura Forbes. She recently graduated from the Tierlon Bailey Sustainable Farming Academy at UCC. And plus, as always, we'll have our farming calendar.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlonFarmLife.com.
Well, an exclusive by the Irish Farmers Journal and indeed the IFA, a Brazil bombshell with illegal antibiotic trade exposed. And the man very much to the forefront on this is beef editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, Adam Woods. Adam, thanks for taking our call.
Thanks, Kieran.
Adam, you travelled out with the IFA to look at the setup out in Brazil. Were you taken aback at the level out there as regards illegal antibiotic trade?
Yeah, we were. I guess we travelled across 3,000 kilometres, four different states in Brazil. And in every one of those states, we were able to go into these sort of agricultural supply stores. We visited farms, we visited livestock marts and these stores. And basically within those stores, we purchased antibiotics, you know, and it wasn't just any antibiotic. We're sort of critically highly important antibiotics like Cetaphor. It's a third generation cephalosporin, and it's a really high one in terms of human health. So if you people sort of on their, you know, in terms of deathbed, you know, cephalosporin is one of the ones that possibly could work, because there's been a lot of resistance to other antibiotics. And I guess the free for all that it is out there as regards just handing it out, like some of the stores said, do you just want one box, do you want some more? And you know, there was no Portuguese, no tag number, no herd number, no identification, and still we got them no problem at all, you know. So it just calls into question.
And of course, listeners may not realise, in Ireland, prescription-only antibiotics, you know, it's very much policed, this whole thing, and really, as you say, literally free for all over there.
That's it, I guess. If a farmer here wants to use an antibiotic or treat an animal, they have to, you know, ring up a vet. The vet has to come out and make a professional opinion in terms of what antibiotic to use. The vet records the purchase of that antibiotic, the vet records the usage of that antibiotic, the farmer records the purchase of that antibiotic, and the farmer records the use of that antibiotic. Mm. So there's huge hoops to jump through there, and I guess that's what European consumers have become accustomed to. And it's a level where I don't think, you know, we've really embraced that as regards Irish farmers, but there isn't the same standards in Brazil, no matter what anybody says, and it's not a level playing.
Now, of course, hormones as well, which of course, and we all know about hormones and the history of hormones as such, and then that must have been mind-blowing as well, the whole situation there.
Yeah, I guess the EU's own commission report in 2024 found that the Brazilian authorities weren't able to differentiate between animals that had received this what's called estradiol 17 beta, and nothing has changed there, because we were still able to buy that out there as well, and no tag numbers or no herd numbers or no names. So that shows you, you know, as little as 18 months ago, the EU Commission, their own commission in terms of DG Health, highlighted this, and here we are still in the same situation. So there's concerns there. EU banned that hormone, I think, in the 1980s for use on European farms.
Correct,
and here we have Brazil, you know, still using it, and in feed antibiotics as well. And as regards antimicrobial resistance, that's a huge one as well. You know, Rumensin is widely used out there.
And Adam, of course, the elephant in the room here is the whole Mercosur deal, the EU Mercosur deal allowing free trade of beef animals from Brazil and South America. Do you think, and obviously you've been able to forward your findings to the EU, what kind of a feedback have you got, and how hopeful are you that we can get a positive outlook here?
Yeah, I don't know, Kieran. I guess there's huge pressure there. Look, this is worth billions to European car manufacturers, white good manufacturer, technology companies, and it seems to me that maybe there's one sector here going to be sold out, and that's the European beef industry as regards the 1990s.
Do you feel beef could be sacrificed here for the larger car industries and others for the various European countries?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it's worth billions to those. You know, Germany is a big player in Europe as regards getting this trade deal across the line. They're very much in favour of it. We need a bloc of minority, 35% of the EU population. We need France. We need Italy, probably Poland, Austria. Ireland is only 1.2, so we're a small player. But really, really important to get those bigger countries in behind this. But the writing is on the wall. I guess there's a vote on the 17th, 18th of December, and there's a flight booked to Brazil for the 20th of December.
Yes, says it all. And also, Adam, from our point of view, and last week I had Paul Nolan Colin, as regards the fantastic achievement by Dawn winning at the World Stake, the finest stake in the world. The grass-fed system, Origin Green and Bord Bea doing great work. That's why it's so important, labelling, if this is to come to pass, it's more important that we really shine a light on the whole grass-based system and the Origin Green system we have here in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, you know, there are huge costs to that as well. And, you know, farmers, as I said, farmers have embraced that. They've moved to those new regulations because we've been told that consumers demand that across Europe and across the world. But here we have Europe going to do a deal with Brazil for this, I would call it substandard product to come into Europe, and no consumers, our consumers going to ask a question about it. Will it come down to price? You know, beef is $3.20 a kilo in Brazil at the moment. So it's going to come in here a lot less price than Irish beef, where it's at the moment, across €7. So huge questions to be asked there. And if it comes in as steak meat, it could have real, we'll say, consequences for the European steak market.
And really, despite the assurance from the EU policymakers, Brazil had turned a corner on compliance issues, animal welfare, deforestation, traceability and hormones. Really, from what you found and at first hand, and fair play to yourselves and the IFA, heading out to Brazil to see it first hand, really, it's falling on deaf ears.
Well, that's it. I just think in terms of the scale and the vastness of the systems in Brazil, I don't think they can ever get to the same level of standard that we have in Europe, because the system just won't allow it. You know, you walk into a herd with 20,000 cattle and be cows calving outside all the time. It's very, very difficult, in fairness to them, to apply the same standard over there. But I think Irish farmers have been very resolute in what they've asked for. We can't look for a ban on imports. We export 90% of what we produce, but we can insist on the same standard of product that comes into that European market.
Well, listen, well done, Adam, to you and indeed, as I say, the IFA beef editor of the Farmers Journal, Adam Woods. Listen, brilliant expose there last week with the bombshell that illegal antibiotic trade exposed. Listen, thanks for taking we'll keep a close eye on this, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the near future on this whole Mercosur deal next month. Thanks for talking to me again, Adam.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, recently, Carbon AMS launched a new biomethane facility in 15-year agreement with Alexion, AstraZeneca, at rare disease. And Lionel is on the line. He's a very happy man indeed. He's the CEO for this fantastic venture. He's CEO of Carbon AMS, and that is Richard Kennedy. Richard, welcome to our programme.
Thank you very much, Kieran, and lovely to be with you.
Richard, what an announcement to launch a new biomethane facility. It's really groundbreaking in every sense.
Well, it is, I suppose. We're thrilled, Kieran. We're absolutely thrilled. There's an awful lot of work has gone into it. We've been working on this for the last 3 years, and, you know, you had to build literally every block of the deal first, and now we're into building the plant itself. But you had to build the block, and Alexion, AstraZeneca are phenomenal, and have been phenomenal. They're a pharmaceutical company which has developed rare disease solutions, and they have made the commitment to buy the gas of us, and that has underpinned what we're doing.
That was a great shot in the arm for you, because you can have a project, have a concept, have funding, but when you get someone like AstraZeneca on board, it really gives a seal of approval, and it must be a great boost for you in this new initiative.
It is, and I suppose as I've said on a number of occasions in the last couple of days, we're farmers. The five of us in Carbon AMS are actually farmers. So for farmers to be able to do a deal with a pharmaceutical company, it did give us a great boost. But that's more credit to AstraZeneca, that they're willing to trust us, that they're willing, you know, they saw the potential and the value of what we proposed to them. And, you know, as I said, you know, we've said grass to gas, but actually this is pharma to pharma, or farmer to pharma.
And really, it's a shared vision of sustainability. It's really a game changer for the Irish agri industry, indeed the biomethane sector in general. You might tell our listeners how it actually works, as simply as possible.
Yeah, well, I suppose another phrase I've used in the last while is when we build an anaerobic digester, it's a series of concrete tanks. But the best way to describe that is that it's like a concrete cow. So we put grass and grass silage and slurry into the tanks. It literally is an anaerobic environment, and that creates methane, and that methane then is taken off, captured, and injected into the natural, into the gas pipeline to absolutely replace gas.
And as regards funding for all of this, and obviously was the government to help there, or is it just self-funded as such?
Well, the government have been a help, but I suppose, Kieran, I saw my first anaerobic digester in 1993, and from then on I always believed it had incredible potential on the island of Ireland. So, you know, the government have helped, but I suppose the in Ireland we haven't tended to develop these. Like there's nearly 100 of them in Northern Ireland. There's 600 of them in the UK. So there's, you know, in other parts of Europe they have developed. Here we've tended to stay away from them because there had been this idea that they were going to compete with farming. We don't see that at all. We actually think they're going to complement and integrate. It's not an alternative. It's an additional enterprise for farming.
No, it's an 80 million investment. It's a huge investment. First of all, when do you hope to be actually up and running, and how many actual farmers are involved in this project? Or does that vary?
It varies from wherever we go, because we want to build a number of these. So we're aiming to build 10 plants, like the biomethane strategy and that the government have been involved in. And this is back to your question on have they helped. They have indeed with that. But they've set out that there could be, you know, there'll be a requirement for 200 of these plants across the country. And so like we aim to build 10 of them. In that way, are the farmers involved? Yes, there's roughly, you know, there'll be around 20 farmers who will supply this. It's around a 15 kilometre radius around that. And as I said, it's already fitting into you know, rotations in some tillage farms where dairy farmers have derogation and they don't want to have they have to have extra land. They don't need the silage. They'll provide it. And then you have beef farmers who will make, you know, whose land can be more productive because they can grow more grass.
So really, a cultured biomethane plant, it's in Dunleek, County Meath. You're hoping to be up and running by mid-26?
Yes. That's the aim. And, you know, we still need, like, as I said to you, there was a lot of people had to collaborate to get this together. We still need more collaboration. Gas Networks Ireland are fundamental to that because we have a connection agreement with them, but we have to get that in place. So we have to connect the plant directly to the gas pipe.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, you're looking at other sites and other geographical areas. Is there potential of, or is there possibility of coming down here to Waterford and the South East region as such?
Yes, absolutely. We think, you know, this integrates with agriculture. It also has phenomenal potential to underpin rural economies and ensure, you know, we work with farmers. We work with farmers to get their soils right. So we absolutely, you know, every part of the Republic has the potential and areas that this can fit in.
Listen, Richard, it's very exciting. Well done to you and all involved in Carbon AMS. It's a really game changer for the industry in Ireland, launching a new biomethane facility in Dunleek and County Meath. To you and all involved, the best of luck. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you for the official launch of this plant in Dunleek. Richard Kennedy, CEO of Carbon AMS. Listen, thanks for taking the call and best of luck with this new exciting project.
Thanks for having us, Kieran. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
And welcome back to part two of Farmview. Now let's have a look at some items from farming calendar. Turning to our livestock marts, busy time at the moment at our livestock mart, Waterford Ross Mart, as always, general cattle and calf sale this Saturday. While this Saturday they also have a TB restricted sale. Sale includes 41 Friesian bullocks, 6 Aberdeen Angus bullocks, feedlot herd numbers only. While the final weaning sale at Waterford Ross Mart is on Monday next. That's Monday next the 1st at 5:30, with entries now being taken. While Richie also reminds us that Saturday next, the 6th of December, they'll be holding the winter fat stock sale, with again entries now being taken. Turning to Dungarvan Mart, as always, general cattle and calf sale every Monday from 11. And don't forget the final weaning sale at Dungarvan Mart is on Thursday next from 11:30 on Thursday morning next at Dungarvan Mart. Turning to our farmer markets and country markets, and as always, a huge array of top quality farm fresh artisan food available every week across Waterford City and County. Saturday mornings, Tramore Farmers Market, Priest Road, Tramore, with Strably Farmers Market from 9 till 1, also Waterford Farmers Market in John Roberts Square. Thursday, as always, Dungarvan Farmers Market, Grattan Square from 9 till 2, always a hive of activity. While on Friday mornings, you have Waterford Country Market, St. Olaf's Hall from 9 till 2. Also on Friday mornings, you have Dungarvan Country Markets, Causeway Tennis Club in Abbeyside, again running from 9 until 2. Now, Seamus Carney is on to remind me of a very novel event this Saturday. Ballysagger GA Club will hold a Climate Action Open Day this Saturday for household businesses and farmers. Indeed, the focus on the day for farmers, it runs from 2:30 till 4:30, is low emission slurry tankers, GPS fertiliser spreaders, solar energy for the farm, and reducing chemical fertiliser costs with slow emission fertiliser. So that's this Saturday afternoon, 2:30 to 4:30 at Ballysagger GA Club. Now, two big important fundraisers coming up in the next few weeks. Cumra Motor Club, and that's Ned was on to remind me that they're hosting a very special festive light up run, all in aid of the Dacia Daycare Centre. It's for tractors, cars, bikes, trucks, you name it, they're all welcome. See them light up for Christmas this Sunday week, that's Sunday the 7th of December. Meeting and take off from Kilrush Industrial Estate at 5 o'clock, with all proceeds going to the Daisha Daycare Centre. While Michael Dalton was on to remind me of a very important fundraising tractor run, the Jigs and Wheels tractor run, all in aid of Shamrine's recovery with a life-threatening incident on his farm, is on Saturday the 20th of December in Madeligo from 12 noon. Tractors and bikes are all very welcome, and a monster auction will take place in Dickie's Bar following, and we'll have more details on next week's programme. Turning to a point-to-point front, United Hunts point-to-point this Sunday at Ballandennis, while we also have the Carlow Hunts point-to-point at Boris House in Carlow. And finally, a reminder of our annual Farm View auction. Yes, our annual Farm View auction, all in aid of St. Vincent de Paul, will take place on Thursday the 11th from 6 to 8 o'clock. So join Sean Organ and myself. We have a huge array of farm and agri products, as also vouchers, food hampers, you name it, we'll have it. We'll have more details on next week's programme. Put the date in your diary. Farm View auction in aid of St. Vincent de Paul, Thursday the 11th from 6 to 8 o'clock.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, recently, 20 Tierlawn farmers proudly graduated as the third group of family farm suppliers from the Tierlawn and Bailey's Sustainable Farming Academy. It took place at UCC, and to tell us all about it, we're delighted to be joined by one of those graduates, and that is Laura Forbes from Tella. First of all, Laura, congratulations on getting your accreditation and graduation from UCC.
Yeah, thanks very much, Kieran. We graduated there on Monday from UCC, so we did the certificate in co-op governance and professional development.
Obviously, environment, sustainability, climate, there's a lot of things happening out there. How does it actually work for you, for the 20 Tierlawn suppliers?
Well, I suppose I'm lucky because I have the comparison here, and I actually did the sustainability course last year. So the majority of that course was delivered online. So my personal preference anyway was the more in-person right. delivery. So the co-op governance that I did this year, the majority of that was delivered in person.
And of course, sustainability and all those buzzwords up there. But as regards you getting involved with the UCC, with a management team up there, and that, how did you actually find the day-to-day course?
Well, I think there was a lot of work done between UCC and Tierlawn and ICOS now in this year's course. So I think the lecturers, they knew their audience, and they had their homework done as well. Right. So it was delivered in a way that was really suitable for us.
And of course, sustainability. There's a lot of things coming at a farming family. You're very much involved. Of course, you're the IFA dairy chairperson as well for County Waterford. As regards the gender balance, first of all, on the course and overall in agriculture, do you feel that it's turning in the right direction?
Well, I think it is, and I mean, it's great that we get an opportunity to get involved, but at the same time, I think people need to hold their positions on merit.
Right, yeah. And then as regards, you're in the Castlelines Advisory, Tallow part of the Castlelines area. Yeah. As regards across the group, the experience you've had, first of all, on the advisory and now on the council for Tierlawn, would you advise more people to look at getting involved at that level?
Well, definitely, and I think if you're involved in your co-op, I think you, number one, you get to see what's going on, you gain an understanding of how the co-op works, and also you get to have your say as a farmer. Now, right. we're voted in to represent the farmers in our area, and we just have to be very constructive then in our approach, that we're bringing that information from the farmers on the ground, which we are ourselves, yes. and we get the opportunity then to deliver that in a constructive way directly to management.
And of course, the interactive has been very good, and as you say, be it on the local advisory, on the council, and long term, literally on the board. But that interaction is vital for a co-op to succeed.
It is, and I think when you're, we'll say, like our group now this year, we did the co-op governance and the professional development, so that actually gave us the insight into the workings of the co-op, and it also gives you confidence that you're not going right. into that council meeting completely green yeah. and that you can actually interact, and you're entitled to interact right. with the senior levels to yourself.
Well, Laura Forbes, you've been part of the third group of family farm suppliers from the Tierlawn and Bailey Sustainable Farming Academy at UCC. Congrats to you and all the other delegates. And listen, look forward to talking to you in the near future. But congrats and well done. And great to see your graduation coming out of UCC last weekend.
Thanks very much, Kieran. And I hope that there'll be another group take up the opportunity next year, because it's definitely a worthwhile experience.
And before I go on the racing front, what a good week again we had for local Waterford Connections Cross Channel. Good wins for the Infarm, Strably Jock, Jack Power. Jack was in the winner's enclosure at Kelso in Scotland, as well as Catterick, while Dungarvan Jock, Sean Hoolan, was back in the winner's enclosure at Chepstow. Back home at Thurles, wins for Knocking Butlerstown trainer Henry de Rombert, as well as a good win for Tallow trainer Sean O'Hearn, with a good bumper winner for Ardmore Jock, John Gleeson, at Punchestown over the weekend as well. While at Tramore earlier in the week, Tramore trainer John Flavin saddled a very popular winner at Tramore on Tuesday last for local Pints and Prosecco Syndicate. So great excitement at Tramore on Tuesday last. Well, that's my lot for this week's programme. Once again, my thanks to Ollie for all he's helped in putting this week's programme together. So from myself, Kieran O'Connor, stay safe, and hopefully I'll have your company again same time next week.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.